you will not hear from Jesus Christ outside of the gospel, this side of the cross of Christ. I repeat, the lesson is dealing with the fact that no man or woman living this side of the cross of Jesus Christ will hear from Christ, from the Almighty God, or from the Holy Spirit outside of the gospel. Whenever I use the term, this side of the cross, you see, you can live this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is BC, before Christ. You can live this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is AD. And of course, one of the interpretations of that is after the death of Christ. But there is another term which is Latin. Anyway, now we live this side of the cross of Christ. You see, we live this side of the cross of Christ. And what I'm here saying in the lesson which began last week is that those of us who live this side of the cross of Jesus Christ will not hear from God outside of the gospel. What I am saying and what the lesson is about is that if you are waiting on a dream, a vision, an angel, or some heavenly being to come and speak to you, deliver a special message to you, or tell you that it is time for you to become a Christian, or tell you that God wants to send you in half a tree to preach, you will not hear from Jesus Christ. We started the lesson last week. And we pointed out then that all things necessary for our living this life is provided by God. All things necessary to know Jesus Christ, to know his will, to serve God faithfully, to prepare ourselves for death, judgment, and after. All things we need has been given by God. That's what the lesson is about. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, we are told that in the gospel, God has revealed his way of making man righteous. And the Bible says that in the passage that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, for therein, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God. That term, righteousness of God, means God's way of making man righteous. All subsequent revelation all the so-called message from God that men and women today and men and women wrote about that they got a message from God, they got a vision, they got whatever. All of that are false. If men and women got some message from God, this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, it is not pertaining to life and godliness. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because he has already told us in the book of Peter that all things, the word pertaining means relating to, all things relating to life. What does that mean? Living the life here and to be godly. God has given me. So if you and I get some message or if an angel appeared to you in your bed, whatever the angel says, it could not, it cannot relate to life and godliness, because all that we need has already been given. We hope that you're here to learn. Let us hear Jude again. And by again, I mean this morning. Let us hear it. Jude chapter, it has only one chapter. Verse 3 and 4 and verse 8.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept unawares.
May I notice sometimes, be it somebody's reading or we're reading, sometimes we just pass over something important carelessly. Now, he is relating the reason, or one of the reasons he had to divert from his previous plan about the common salvation, and instead of speaking about that, to speak about something else. That something else is for them to contend for the faith once delivered. So, far there, I think that's verse 4.
3.
Verse 3. No. Well, go on. Thought you had read verse 3 already.
Yes, now I'm at 4. For there are certain men.
For, he's telling now the reason for what he said in verse 3. Very important that we get this. He's stating in verse 4, for is taking you back to what had just been said in verse 3.
That's right.
In verse 3, we have the battle cry to all Christians to contend for the faith. And we want to spend a little more time on this business, the faith, in a little while. To contend for the faith once delivered to us. That is verse 2. Verse 4 now. Verse 4, for. And what that means is, Jude is saying, I am still on the subject that I am speaking, that I have spoken about in verse 3. I'm still on it.
That's right.
Far is saying, this is one of the reasons you need to stand up, take a stand for the faith. What is the reason?
For there are certain men crept in unawares,
mm-hmm,
who were before of the old ordained to this condemnation,
mm-hmm,
ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Wait. These are men that supposed to have embraced the truth. They, I. identify as if it were with the church.
That's right.
But they were not sincere. They had ulterior motive, selfish motive. Read verse 4 again. For there are
certain men crept in unawares.
Wait. They're creeping. It's like as if it were they come in by the back door. But how can anybody come in the Lord's church by the back door? They come, they got baptized, and they act like they believe the truth. They didn't.
That's right.
Come in unaware.
Who were before of the old ordained?
From old, they were spoken about. Uh-huh.
To this condemnation.
Ungodly men.
Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness.
That's right. They turn the gospel of Christ and God's grace into things that satisfy them. Beat their ego need, their financial need, their desire of all sorts. The gospel of Christ was used for their personal agenda.
That's right.
That was verse 4. Verse also 8.
Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh.
Wait. These filthy dreamers. Be careful when you think that your dream is a message or a vision from God.
That's right.
Because that's exactly what the inspired writer is there talking about.
That's right.
You go to bed and you dream. A lot of times because you eat late. And you want to talk about God, give you a vision. But brothers and sisters, you know, the men and women who gamble, you think a little of them lose money because they get a dream and go and buy pick three and pick one because they dream? Huh? So be careful that you do not call your dreams message from God. In fact, I'm going to turn to a passage in a few minutes. Hopefully, I will remember to get to that passage. Okay. May we look at Jude, can we? First, may I? The text, Jude chapter 1, verse 3. The text treat this once delivered faith as a treasure committed to our custody. That's the idea you get here. It's like in verse 3. Read verse 3 again, brother.
Beloved. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me.
Wait. I find the need. As I've said last week, that the King James Version don't adequately so translate it that you will see that there's a difference between what Jude had planned to write about and had to shift. It was no accident. It's the Holy Spirit inspiring him to deal with the need to stand up for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, could we take a look at the word faith? Notice that they should contend for
the faith.
For the
faith.
Faith. For the faith. This is important that we understand this, and I know we have on many occasions explained this, but there can never be too much explanation to make sure that if there's one person in the audience who was not here or who didn't get it the first time, hopefully you will get it this time. Wait. Now, the faith is not talking about your personal belief. The faith here is not talking about the fact that you have faith in God. The faith here is not talking about that you believe in Christianity. The faith here is not talking about that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. We call that subjective faith. Why is it subjective? It is inside us. It's a part of. Wait. Subjective faith is referring to the fact. Referring rather to your attitude towards something or somebody. It's referring to your disposition. Anything you believe in.
That's right.
Anything you have a positive attitude toward. Then you say, I believe in that. You have faith in that. That is subjective. Subjective meaning it's in you. It's personal. Well, we are to have faith in Jesus Christ. Yes. We must.
That's right.
And the Bible said that without faith,
impossible.
It is impossible to please God. That is subjective faith. We need that. But this here in Luke chapter 3 is not about that type of faith. This here is not your personal belief or positive attitude or disposition towards anything. This here is that which you believe.
That's right.
Say more about it, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking. We're going to go to a few passages in the Bible, the New Testament, and show you the word, the faith at work. In the first place, the faith is referring to the teachings of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It is referring to that body of teaching coming from Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and was delivered to the apostle. Watch me. When we are told, when we are told in the book of Hebrews, I think it is chapter 2, that we are to give the more earnest, you have never read. You have to give the more earnest heed to what?
The things which we have heard.
Which we have heard. Watch me now. The things which you have heard. Wait. Things heard. That's right. Things heard. The things which you have heard. You have to give the more earnest things. Heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time we let them say, watch it. The things heard is the faith. We are coming to, we're going to use the passage here in Hebrews chapter 2. I think we're going to use another one. The things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them say. For if the word, you are there, Vivian? You are there?
Yes. For if the word spoken by angels.
Vivian, the things which we have heard is the same words. Wait, no. That the word spoken by angel is referring to Moses' writing. Wait, is that the faith? No! That's important that we get that. Watch it. We have to give them more earnestly to the things which we have heard. For if the word spoken by angel, Brother Mitchell, is that the gospel? No. Is that the faith? No. That is referring to the Old Testament system. Listen.
For if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense
Brother
of reward.
Mitchell, what does that mean? All the children of Israel who did not pay respect to the Old Testament system under which they that was delivered to Moses by God to guide the lives of the Israelites. All the Israelites that did not show the respect and the reverence for those words, they were killed. Are we all there? The Bible is saying that we must make sure we do not fall under that same promise.
That's right.
So that every transgressor receive a just recompense of reward.
How shall we escape?
Watch here now, watch here now, watch here now. How shall we escape?
If we neglect so great salvation.
Brother Vivian, the same great salvation is what is referred to as the faith. The word of salvation is what is referred to as the faith. Wait. So great a salvation,
which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord.
You get a time element here now? That's when the faith started. When Jesus Christ came.
That's right.
You notice how he gave us a time demarcation? This, you can't mix it up. Was it the prophet preaching? No, that's not the faith. Was it Moses writing? That's not the faith. This faith was first preached by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's the gospel.
That's right.
That's New Testament Christian. But he said somewhere there.
And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
That is by the apostle. The faith. What I'm trying to show you is that what is referred to as the faith, it was first spoken by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And it was confirmed unto us by the apostle. Brother Mitchell, are you telling me that all these, 39 books of the Old Testament, the prophet and Moses and all this, that's not the faith? No, that was not the faith. Right. Brother Mitchell, help me again. What is the faith? The body. The combined teachings of Jesus Christ in one package called the faith.
Right.
My belief in Jesus Christ is my faith. Awesome. The teaching given to me that caused me to believe in Christ is the faith. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. That's my faith. I need that. But that is not the faith.
That's right.
The teaching that was given to me, that is the faith. But wait, in a little while I'm going to show you that the faith is not some religious flux.
That's right.
It's not any religious teaching. Oh, Lord, should I turn to that now? The faith that was once delivered. Well, let me go. And I was about to turn to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 and verse 7. Turn to it, brother. Let me make sure.
And the word of God increased.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly.
Uh-huh.
And
read that.
Increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly.
Uh-huh.
And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith.
You all hear that? That's an interesting fact. The same thing that is referred to as the word of God is what in the same verse is referred to as the faith.
That's right.
It is something that we call objective. It is outside of us. My faith can die or grow weak. Are we all here? That is my faith in Christ.
That's right.
People sometimes backslide, grow unfaithful. Sometimes we are backsliding and we do not even know. So different things can happen to our faith. My personal belief, our attitude towards God. But you see, with this now, this is a different kettle of fish. This will stand the way it was given from the time of Christ.
Amen.
This doesn't get weak or die, because this is the teachings of Christ.
Wait. How did we get here and we are still there? That we should contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. As I've said, I'm showing here that the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, is used in two senses, or have two different meanings. The one implying our attitude, our disposition towards a person, towards a thing. The other referring to something outside of us, independent of us. In this case, the combined, the put together body of teachings of Jesus Christ. More to be said about that. What Jude 3 says again, brother, brush up my mind.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation.
Wait. Of the common salvation, read.
It was needful for me to write unto you
mm-hmm.
and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith.
You should not just contend, huh?
Earnestly.
You should earnestly. Let us continue talking a little here. Jude chapter 3 is a battle cry to the saints.
That's right.
Are you a saints? Are you a part of the saints? This is a battle cry to the saints. That is the church of Christ. For loyalty to the conflict between truth and error. How do you know, Brother Mitchell? Because in verse 4, it is telling you of some people who crept in the church. And there they were dealing in error, religious falsehood that suit their whims, their fancy, their greed, their lust, whatever.
That's right.
The battle cry is asking for loyalty to those who believe the truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jude words are battle cry puts the seal of inspiration, the seal of authority, and the seal of finality on that which had been delivered.
That's right.
Jude words, Jude's battle cry, put a seal. And what he said, it is a seal of inspiration. It is a seal of authority from heaven. And it is a seal of finality, telling us that what was delivered by the apostles of Jesus Christ, it is final. It is given by the authority of God, and it is inspired. It is a battle cry. Jude's purpose was not to give us detail about the faith in this passage. Wait. Get this. Jude did not set us to give us all the detail. This is what comprised the faith. No, that's not Jude's purpose here. Jude's purpose was to emphasize the finality of the faith. You see, notice, one of the emphasis here, you know, is the fact that it was once
delivered.
That's one of the things Jude wants the Christian to understand, that don't expect something else from any angel or any man.
That's right.
It was once delivered. Are we there? May I? The text contains at least four divine assertions. Brother Mitchell, say that again. The text of Jude chapter, well, it has one chapter, verse, especially verse 3 and 4, but particularly verse 3, it contains at least four divine assertions. That is, the inspired writer is asserting four things that are divine. They are from God, from Christ, the Holy Spirit. The first assertion is this. The text asserts the existence of an organized body of truth coming under the title of the faith. That's the first divine assertion in the text. Jude is not saying probably there is, I think there is, I imagine there is, I hope there is. Jude is dealing with the faith as something that he knew existed. So as I've said, the first assertion here is that there is in existence an organized body of teaching or truth that Jude referred to as the faith, referring to that which is believed, not referring to their belief, but that which they believe, something that was presented to them, preached to them, taught to them, and they believed it. That is the faith. So that is the first assertion. The second divine assertion is that this body of truth or divine revelation, divine teaching, he is asserting, are we all there, that it is fixed. It is final and it is complete. The text is assuming that. That this body of divine truth is fixed. No man can pull it up. It is final. You're not going to get anything else. And it is complete. It is adequate to meet all of our spiritual needs. Right. Are we all there? And that it is complete, along there too, that it accommodates neither change nor addition, nor subsequent improvement.
Amen. Amen.
Nobody can improve on the faith.
That's right. That's right.
Because God gave it in a way that it will meet all of man's needs.
That's right.
That was the second assertion. The third assertion in the text is this. The text asserts the authority due to the faith or the authority which brings the faith or gives the faith is the authority of the Almighty God. And finally, on this fourth assertion, it asserts, well, rather the text specifies, and this is great, the text specifies the trustees to whom the faith was entrusted. Oh, I didn't say that, Brother Mitchell. It means then you weren't listening carefully. Read verse 3 again.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to the right unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered.
Watch you now. It was once
delivered.
Delivered
unto the saints.
Who?
Unto the saints.
So this is what I refer to as the fourth assertion, that the text specifies the trustees.
That's right.
The money was given to me. No, it was given to me. And all six of you is saying, to whom the money was given. Well, brother, we don't have to quarrel about the persons or the institution to which or to whom the faith was delivered.
That's right.
It was delivered to
the saints.
The saints. Brother Mitchell, who is the saints? Let me help you identify the saints. If you run to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, that will help you to identify. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14.
These things write I unto thee.
Hoping to come unto thee shortly.
But if I didn't come
the time I plan to come, I'm writing these things ahead that you may know how you are to behave yourself. Where?
In the house of God.
Where?
In the house of God.
Brother Mitchell, how we lead from trusting to house? Wait, I share a little news with you. I am on the same subject. How thou art to behave thyself in the
house of God,
which is
the church of
the living God. Which is
the pillar and ground of the truth.
Brother Vivian, you remember that I pointed out and the Bible point out that the faith is the truth of the gospel.
That's right.
And this passage is telling us that the church. Did I make a mistake by saying churches? The Bible said church.
That's right.
But not only that, the Bible used the definite article the.
That's
mean
right.
It is one.
That's right.
When you say the woman, you're talk about one woman. When you say the man, you're talk about one person.
That's right.
The Bible says the church, not churches. Why? Because Jesus Christ built one true church.
That's right.
And it tells us that the church is the pillar
and ground.
That is what the Bible, Jude, referred to as the saints. The saints make up the church.
That's right.
The saints are faithful Christians. The saints are not dead people.
That's right.
They are faithful Christians. So remember on that point that the text specify or pinpoint the trustees of the faith, and the trustee is the church of Christ. This is Christ's church. The passage also tells us that the faith is something specific and definite. It is not something that exists in flux. Are we all there? Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, may I? Any and any religious teaching is not the faith.
Amen.
You get that? Let me show you something now. Let me show you something. Can you read my beautiful writing, Julian?
Yes.
This is the faith. And you have it here too. And you have the word up. You didn't have space to put the word of God, which is the faith. Remember, this is not referring to our subjective belief, faith in Christ. This is referring to the body, the combined teachings of Jesus Christ as a body of teaching, as a body of truth. And it is dealt with here as one thing, the faith.
That's right.
But watch here. I made a statement just now that it is not this, the faith. The body of Jesus' teaching does not exist in flux. Where you make it what you want, and I make it what I want, and the other man make it what he want. Wait, and then we make it into... We make it into Church of Christ faith, we make it into Baptist faith, we make it into Methodist faith, we make it into Jehovah. The faith cannot be dealt with like that.
That's right.
It's the faith as used in the scripture. And I don't have time to deal with all the passages in Acts and other New Testament passages that addresses the faith. But I just want to show you one passage that will help you to understand that all religious teaching is not the faith.
Amen.
The faith is referring to the specific teaching of Jesus Christ and his apostle.
Amen.
Anything outside of that is counterfeit.
Amen.
Look at the passage now again of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 and verse 7.
And the word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied.
And the number of disciples, number of men and women becoming Christian multiplied.
In Jerusalem greatly.
God help us and guide us and bless us to one day see that in the Lord's body.
That's right.
Multiplied greatly. Read that.
And a great company of priests were obedient.
And a great company of
priests. More than one. Yes.
Watch it now. These were priests of the Old Testament system. These were men who embraced the law. I'm sure you're clear about the faith.
And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith.
Everybody get that? Wait, no. This is not saying that they had faith in Christ. That is included. What this is saying, they were obedient to something that was taught to them.
That's right.
The faith. But Brother Mitchell, if they were priests, and they were Jewish priests, that means they have been living according to the law. But here now, the Bible is telling us that they became obedient to
the faith.
The faith. You know what this is telling me? What they had been living by all their lives was not the faith.
That's right. Amen.
That's it. The Old Testament law by which they lived was not the faith. But was the religious teaching, Brother Mitchell? Yes.
That's right.
But it was not the teaching of the gospel, the teaching of Christ.
That's right.
For it to be the faith, it had to be the pure and mixed teaching of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So what we are told here, they walk away from the law to become obedient to the faith, the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
What is the point? The faith does not exist in religious flocks, where any religious teaching is considered the faith. This is a good example. May I? Any man or woman comes saying that God speak to them, they are fraud. How do I know? Because the entire New Testament is giving us the plain teaching that when the New Testament was completed, sealed, in the time of the apostles of Jesus Christ, if men and women want to hear from God, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, they would have to check the gospel. Oh, Lord. Let me just wrap up with these 2 points now. Run with me, quick, brother. To Jeremiah, I think it's 23, 26 following. Quick. I want to show you something.
How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets?
I want you all to listen to this. Remember, the Old Testament, the priests who became Christian, they became obedient to the faith, which means the gospel of Christ, the teachings of Christ. But they had all their lives embraced the law of Moses. So that to which they became obedient is different from that which they had embraced all their lives. And even though that which they embraced all their lives was religious teaching, that did not comprise the faith. Okay, so you are at Jeremiah
23. Verse 26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets?
Listen and learn, our brothers and sisters, visiting friends. How long shall this be
in the heart of the prophets?
In the heart of the prophet.
That prophesy lies.
Yea. Wait. That prophesy what?
Lies.
Wait. Prophesy, what does that mean, Brother Mitchell? They were preaching lies. And they were claiming that this God sent them. Poor God. I mean, he said the man who have a nervous problem and they were telling to go on the street and where to stand before the running bus and preach, a God said. Brothers and sisters, you are acquainted with the teachings of the Bible. The one of the big problems today, even men and women who go to church every day, they do not understand the teaching of the Bible. That's one of the problems. Yes, prophesy lies.
Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart.
Everybody get this? Please listen. What they are prophesying is this, the deceit, that is the lie, the father of the Bible's heart is the man.
That's right.
This is something that I hear you say that over you, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart,
so shall he.
So you see, the Bible's heart is that which you used to think. That's right. It is a deceit of their own heart. Everybody's getting it? Read that.
27. Which thing to cause my people to forget my name?
You see, religious fathers would preach your heart, cause men and women to forget God's truth.
That's right.
That's one of the danger. Well, go on, bro.
By their dreams.
What? Wait. You put that here, my brother?
No, sir.
Oh, my God. You You see? By their dreams. Read more.
Which they tell every man.
Oh, my God. Woo! You know, I almost want to leave this until next week because, dream. Every person with some religious inclination, every dream they get is from God. Brothers and sisters, read another thing.
Which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name, for Baal.
You see, whenever we use our dream, thinking it's God giving us message, that's one of Satan's deceitful. Then we tell it, and we follow what our dream says, and that pulls us away from the pure word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You find that men and women listen to their subjective feeling and their dream more than God's word. That is common today.
Mm-hmm.
Read on that.
The prophet that had a dream.
Listen, God says the prophet who has a dream.
Let him tell it as a dream.
Tell it as a dream. Wait. When you have a dream, don't mix God up with it.
That's right.
Don't go include God in it because you are sinning.
That's right.
You are lying on God.
That's right.
Because God is not going to come to you in dream today. Why? Because the gospel is here.
That's right. Amen.
All that God. Hold it, Brother Vivian. All that God has to say, all that Jesus Christ has for man about God, about man, about sin, about man's duty here, about conduct, about life, about the plan of salvation to save us, about forgiveness of sin, about preparing for death and judgment, about eternal life, about worship. All that Jesus Christ has to say to man, Jesus Christ has taught it and left it in the hands of the apostle, and the apostles have written it for us to have today.
That's right.
What God has not said, it was not meant for us.
Amen.
Why you stop, brother? Read now.
Let him tell it as a dream.
When you have a dream, tell it as a dream.
And he that...
Don't sin by telling that God sent you a dream. Because he's not going to send you any dream. See it, and he'll send you a dream.
That's right.
But not God. Because we get the plain teaching that all that God has to say to man, all that Christ has, it has been said in the gospel. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Read my brother.
And he that at my word, let him speak my word faithfully.
You see the difference? When you have a dream, tell it as a dream.
That's right.
But when you are speaking God's word, speak it faithfully.
That's right.
You know, brother, there's a lot to say. And I need to... I need to say a few more things, but not today, because I need to bring up a few people who have had dreams, you know. Yes, but not today. I need to tell you a little about Joseph Smith, but not today. He had dreams. I need to tell you about William Miller. They had dreams. I need to tell you about Mary Baker Eddy, founder of the Christian Science Church, but not today. I need to tell you about Muhammad, founder of Islam. They all had dreams and vision, but they didn't tell theirs as a dream. They go about writing that God gave them message. Here God is speaking. Oh, Lord of mercy, there's so much to share. I'm going to stop right here. I'm hoping...
Oh,
said, I'm going to stop right here. And my sister said, amen, as if to say, you're doing the right thing, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for your amen, sister. Believe. Yes, we have to stop here because, there's so much to say on this list. And